Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
All right, let's do this right now, right here. Let's go, people!
Right here in the squared circle.
Oh, yeah, brother.
Yep, Terry Bollea.
Well, folks, it's time to talk about movies. I know you don't know from that intro, but we're going to talk about movies. Max, you want to talk about a movie?
You talk about a movie.
I'll talk about a movie then.
Please.
Well, I guess we're starting it this way.
Uh-oh.
It was bound to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to have an open mind.
Okay.
X-Men Dark Phoenix.
Okay.
Yeah,
let's
baby.
Let's see what you have to say.
Yeah, boy.
Here we
the
go.
The guy who notoriously doesn't like the X-Men.
Uh-huh.
This is from last year, 2019. I watched it sometime in April. Your IMDb minutes, 1 hour, 53 minutes, genre, action, adventure, sci-fi. Scared to call it a comic book movie? That's fair. It doesn't really do anything the comic book story did. Directed by Simon Kinberg. Starring James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender, and Jennifer Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
All the least interesting people getting top billing in this one. I mean, McAvoy, great, and Fassbender, great, but this really isn't about them as
Not
much.
Even a little bit.
Yeah, they're there, but...
Yeah, it's what's-her-name from Game of Thrones.
It's good old what's-her-ass.
Sophie Turner?
Yeah, that right? That's right. Sophie Turner. She's okay.
Sure. That's my kind of my review of her in general for the most part. She's fine.
She's fine. She shows up.
Yep.
She's not that other one, the little one. She's good.
The little one is good.
One day we'll learn names. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yep.
IMDb movie summary. Jean Grey begins to develop incredible powers that corrupt and turn her into a dark phoenix.
What?
Causing the X-Men to decide if her life is worth more than all of humanity.
Dark phoenix.
Oh, boy.
Jean, you seem to be turning into some sort of dark phoenix. What up with that?
No, I'm fine.
Oh, are you sure? Are you
yes.
just in my head again?
Yes, I am.
Don't look at that.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Ew.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Speaking of gross, this movie's dumb. It's not as bad as I thought it would be, but it's not great.
Okay.
And I think this movie took a lot of shit it shouldn't have.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
How do you feel about this arc of the comic books? This was like the Claremont stuff in the 90s, right?
Right. So this is gonna be one of the better X-Men stories easily.
Yes.
It still has its problems,
mm-hmm.
but they get nowhere close in any of the adaptations they've done for film. The cartoon, the 90s cartoon, the reason people are digging that so much is because it's super close.
It's so good.
Comparatively to all yeah. this other stuff.
Yep.
While better than X3, X-Men Last Stand bullshit, this is still not a proper Dark Phoenix saga.
Right.
Nicholas Holt, who is Beast, and Ty Sheridan, who is Cyclops, are the better actors in this movie.
I have a Nicholas Holt movie this
Ooh,
episode.
Do you?
I do.
That's super exciting.
It is.
He's actually seems like he's getting somewhere.
Yeah.
He's doing pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But him... And Ty Sheridan, who played Cyclops, they are the better actors in this one. And like Ty Sheridan, I didn't care about in any of the other movies.
Right.
But he has a good range. He's doing emotions
nice.
As he is in love with Jean. And
very good.
I thought it was good. The only thing this kind of did good was they went into space. They actually went into space, and that's where they got the Dark Phoenix attached
well,
to Jean. They at least did that. They didn't do it right, but they did it to make sense.
Yeah.
Whatever.
They didn't do it right, but they did it to make sense.
Jennifer Lawrence clearly can't wait to get the fuck out of this movie.
Nice. That's
you
so
can
great.
See it all over her face. She gives no fuck. She's in the makeup maybe once.
That's awesome.
She gives no fucks.
Good for her.
And the fight scenes are fun, even if they make little to no sense.
That sounds right.
Beast flipping around on cars while things explode and stuff.
Sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
It looked cool.
Yep.
I was entertained by it. It ain't right.
Yep.
But I liked it, you know?
Look at him flipping on a car.
Had that flippy-do on the car. Boom.
Boom.
I like it. The floor is lava.
Yeah, right?
IMDb score. They got a 5.8.
Okay.
Rotten Tomato critics. 362 critics gave it 23%.
That sounds right.
Ooh. Rotten Tomato audience gave it 64%.
That's quite a gap.
Out of 15,000 people. I might surprise you, but I gave it a 5.
Damn.
You were close. I gave it a 5.
I held up 4 fingers.
I gave it a 5 mainly because...
It didn't sound like you thought it was unwatchable.
No, it is a little unwatchable. I just think there's, as a movie, it's unwatchable.
Okay.
As performance, there's good performances.
So there's enough there stitched in that you can watch it.
Yeah, this is one of those things you watch it once, and you feel a way about it and you never do it again.
It's not Hellboy bad.
No, okay. No, it's not. There, I mean, close, but no. No, it's a thing. We did it. I got it over with. I behaved myself.
All right, fair enough. Well, how about I do another Nicholas Hoult movie right now?
Right now?
Right now.
Right now.
2015's Mad Max. Ooh. Fury Road.
Furiosa.
This I watched for the probably the 9th time.
Oh, yeah? You watched it that many times?
I've watched it a lot.
That's good.
January 2020. It is 2 hours and 0 minutes because George Miller don't need no fucking minutes.
He don't need no extra time.
It is a sci-fi action movie, and it was directed by the aforementioned George fucking Miller. Mm-hmm. It stars Tom Hardy, Charlize Theron, and Nicholas Hoult.
That's right.
The summary of this movie: in a post-apocalyptic wasteland, a woman rebels against a tyrannical ruler in search of her homeland with the aid of female prisoners, a psychotic worshiper, and a drifter named Max.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Those women, they'll rebel against anything.
Yep. Like B-E-L-L-E.
Silly.
My bullet points thoughts on this movie. This movie is so fucking good. Tim is in the room with me. He can see, and I'm not bullshitting you, that I'm wearing a Mad Max Fury Road t-shirt.
You are. I like it.
Yes. Every single fucking frame of this movie is perfection. It's so good. Every time I watch this movie, I see something I haven't seen before.
There's a lot going on.
It's so overwhelming to the first time it hits you like a wave. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like the first time you're a little kid and you walk into the ocean, it smacks you and sends you flying back on the sand.
Yep.
That's what watching this movie is like. And every time you get to navigate a little bit better, you can go out a little bit farther, you get to see something new, like, oh my gosh. It's all a new experience every time you watch it. It's so good. Every beat of this movie is great. Every visual is jaw-dropping. Every fucking set piece is so good. There's not an ounce of waste in this movie. Every single second is important to the movie. The characters are fleshed out seemingly effortlessly. They don't bother to give you much, but they give you enough indication when they give the weird name. Like, those are his prize breeders. What are those women for? Oh, dear God. That's all you need. So you can make the connections. Like, he doesn't need to spoon feed you every little thing like they have to do now.
Right.
You don't need this fucking bullshit exposition. They don't waste time on this horse shit. They got two things they're trying to do in this movie. A chase and then a race. And that is all he fucking cares about giving you. It's yep. So good. Of all the Mad Maxes, it feels like he's the most in the background in this movie. And I think that works the best.
That's fair, yeah.
I think that him passing the torch from Gibson to Hardy works fine. I don't think you really need to worry about who Mad Max is. Mad Max is almost just like the storyteller in a sense. He's just drifting through the desert from one story to another. So him, the Max character, has fallen backwards in importance. And the characters who he's going to experience have come to the forefront. And I think that's really the hallmark of good Mad Max, at least if he chooses to do it or pass the torch or they choose. I'm sure they're going to try to squeeze that for all it's worth.
Sure.
They're never going to get close. This is like this dude's magnum opus, I would imagine. I know he's trying to do a Furiosa prequel.
Right.
So I'm good on him. Make a million movies. Make another Babe movie if you want, George Miller. I'm in.
Yeah, no, it sounds good.
But I love this fucking movie. It's amazing. IMDb gives it an 8.1 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes critics, 418 critics give this a 97%.
Nice.
128,130 audience members give this an 85%. I, for only the second time in podcast history,
give
this a 9.8 out of 10.
Wow, it happened again.
It did. It's up there with 12 Angry Men as fucking nearly perfect.
So which one's better?
They're so different.
Yeah.
Like, 12 Angry Men has nothing going on visually. It's all in just the, you know, 12 men in a room, and it's just super compelling. This is fucking anarchy in the desert with infinite men, and it's just batshit that he could get a handle on that.
How scared do you think the guy is with the flame guitar just, like, strapped in?
I couldn't imagine. Could you imagine being, like, your stuntman on a stick that they're lifting from a car onto another car? Hell
wild.
No.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's the like when I saw this in the theater, I just sat there and I was just like, what? What?
And that guitar really did all of that.
Yes, it did. That's he went wild. And toured. Like, he just went around and did tours with that as the doof.
That's amazing.
Yeah, pretty incredible stuff.
If he comes back around, we got to go.
The doof show. I don't think we're allowed to go around to concerts anymore. Maybe he could burn away all the corona.
Yeah.
With his guitar.
Burn away all the corona, dude.
If I go to the hospital for a third degree burn, it's not like going to the hospital for COVID-19, so it's fine, right?
They're still
going
to check you. They're going to shove a thing all the way back into your brain.
Shit. Take my temperature. It's really hot. Yeah, I'm on fire.
Yeah, you are, baby. Well, I'm going to take us in another direction.
Ruh-roh.
Ruh-roh Raggy. 2019's Marriage Story.
Oh, man.
You've watched this movie.
I have watched this movie.
This movie's pretty good. Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
What does this mean?
We'll see.
Oh, boy. Well, this happened in April-ish for me.
Uh-huh.
IMDb Minutes, 2 hours, 17 minutes, genre, comedy, drama, romance.
I agree with some of that. Comedy?
Less comedy,
there's
more
drama. There's laughs in it, yeah. But
it's just Adam Driver's awkwardness, which he plays up and I love.
They wrote a character just for him.
Pretty much.
Yep.
Directed by Noah Baumbach.
Mm-hmm.
Starring Adam Driver, Scarlett Johansson, and Laura Dern.
Yes.
And Alan Alda. Mm-hmm. He's back.
He's back, and Laura Dern is phenomenal in this movie.
She's so good.
Yes, she is.
IMDb movie summary. Noah Baumbach's incisive and compassionate look at a marriage breaking up and a family staying together.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that beautiful?
Isn't it?
Bullet points. Both Driver and Johansson are great, but especially Driver. Mm-hmm. I think Driver's just, he's like one of my favorites, man.
He's
every
so good.
Every time he does anything, it's so good.
He keeps impressing me.
Yep. Alan Alda and Laura Dern kill it as attorneys at different points of their careers.
Oh, yeah.
Dern won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress.
She's so good in this movie.
She's very good. And I think it deserves most of the praise it receives. I think it's a pretty good movie. Max, I don't know how you feel, but I thought it was pretty good.
I agree with you.
Okay, good. I don't like it when we don't agree.
No, I got a number. I'll tell you how far off you are when you give your score.
You tell me how wrong I am.
Nope.
Well, it's a very weird movie in that you kind of just jump into things.
Mm-hmm.
The marriage doesn't seem like anything's going wrong with it at first, and then it just suddenly is.
Yes.
And then you kind of get little details, a little backstory on what happens, and it's just, they're trying to do things the right way, things go a little out of control, and no one's willing to step back from it. It's like a real relationship.
It really is. It's so cleverly written.
I thought Johansson did really good in this.
Yes.
I mean, it's hard to not just say, Driver was so good. But I think she did pretty good. She humanized herself really good in this.
I think she had the tougher role because she had to not know who she was, because she was always kind of his performer. He plays a director. She like a stage, you know, he does stage plays and he directs and handles all that. And she was kind of like his actress that he went to for a lot of it. And that's how they met. And she kind of doesn't really have, like, she always looks to him for direction. And she's finally on her own. She doesn't have to do that, and she's not used to it. She has a lot of subtlety in her performance.
Yeah.
And like where it went, like she becomes sure of herself, she becomes too sure of herself.
Right. She goes too far too fast.
And she makes mistakes, and it's just, and he doesn't know how to react to it because he's not used to her being in charge, and he doesn't handle it well, but he thinks he is, and he truly does think he is, and he does such a good job. The layers and the subtlety in their performances is staggering in this film.
This movie was pretty sweet.
Yes, totally agree.
But will the numbers agree with Max? Let's find out now. IMDb gave this an 8.0.
Okay.
That's like a 9.0 anywhere else.
It's not untrue.
Rotten Tomato critics gave it 95%, 368 critics.
Uh-huh.
The audience gave it 85%, 184 people. Is that right? Seems wrong. Maybe it was 184,000.
That sounds right.
Just doesn't seem like 184 people.
Not the 34 million who reviewed Return of the King.
I mean, apples and oranges, right? I gave this an 8.0.
Okay.
My wife gave this a 9.0.
I see.
Max, tell me where I am wrong.
I agree with your wife. There's no bet. Nope. You just got to keep doing that.
We got to record that.
I agree with your wife.
This movie was really good.
It was so good. I watched this movie. I did the Netflix party app with my girlfriend. And when I was done, I just could not talk to her. She's like, are you okay? And I was like, I need time to process this film. Like, it fucking gut punched me.
It was
real hard. The scene where they try to just put the lawyers aside at the end and they're in the house, it just ripped my guts out.
Yeah.
It was so rough. The scene where the woman from Family Services comes and he cuts himself. Oh, my God. It's so brutal.
Whew.
And it's like that on the surface, you're trying to prove nothing's wrong, brutal, and just like, oh, just, he That's where I think Driver really, like, one of the scenes where he really kills it.
I was just like, oh God, no.
Yes. It was so good. The scene where he's trying to hurry up and get to the lawyer's office, mm-hmm. and like the kids like wants food and he's like, come on, they're just eating like a shitty hamburger. It's just so much of this is so authentic.
The second trick or treat and he doesn't want to go. He's tired.
Yeah. Oh my God. And it's, yeah, they just like go to a store and it's like, oh, this is gut wrenching. He doesn't know any neighborhoods. And it's like, oof, it just felt so bad, but like perfectly bad.
Yeah. This is a feely.
Yeah. It's a good one.
It's a feely.
Punch it right in the feels.
Right in the feels. Get him.
Speaking of Bond, can't really go with that.
The feels?
Kevin Smith punched himself in the feels for 2019's Jane Silent Bob reboot. I watched this in February of 2020. Found it to be 1 hour and 45 minutes after checking IMDb. It is a comedy. It was directed by Kevin Smith, starring his daughter, Harley Quinn Smith, his best friend, Jason Mewes, and coming back, Shannon Elizabeth. His wife is in this. Everybody's in this.
All the usual players.
Good old Benny Affleck.
Yeah.
They're all in this one. The movie summary here, Jay and Silent Bob embark on a cross-country mission to stop Hollywood from filming a Blunt Man and Chronic reboot. This time.
Yep.
My thoughts on this movie. This movie feels like a nostalgic victory lap a bit too often. I think that would be fine, and I have no problem with Smith celebrating, like, look at this, what I've built. Look at that. That's cool. I love the View Askew stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that he spends so much time doing that over making something quality that I want to see. I'm just like, this is what I get. Like, this is my reappearance of Brody from Mallrats. Is this? This is all I get out of this?
Yeah.
Like, this, like, it's just, it's all so shruggy. That it's like, man, you took what could have been like just these amazing moments that I wanted so badly. And just the only one that I really liked was the Holden reappearance from Chasing Amy. I thought his reappearance was great and I thought it was thoughtful and it made sense. And I was like, this is the only time that one of the characters has reemerged that I've been like, that was awesome. That was an awesome moment.
Yep. I've also seen this movie and I did not enjoy it that much.
No.
It was too much. Like, you have to be in, you have to know all the Smith verse crap. You had to, like, a little too tongue in cheek looking at the camera.
He was too back patty. He
it
really
was really rough.
He's like, remember that time I did this?
Yeah.
You remember that? No. Oh, all right.
Yeah. It really didn't feel great.
No.
Like, the idea of what happens as they're going across with Jay, like, that's great.
Yes.
That was fine. That was enough of an idea.
Totally.
But we didn't really visit. It just wasn't really good. I was just bored watching it. I was bored. And I'm like, oh, what am I going to see next? Oh, that's great. He's friends with this person. Like, I don't care.
Yep.
It was Comic-Con the movie, and it's like, no.
It was just so, it just didn't do enough. Anytime it was going to set something up, the payoff was simply something from a movie you may have seen before.
Right.
You're definitely not pulling anyone new in. It doesn't have the charms that the first Jay and Silent Bob had. It doesn't have the balls that the first Jay and Silent Bob had. It just kind of is this, and I understand he's older and he's looking at this with fondness and he's kind of like, oh, isn't that nice? Like, he's tussling our hair. Isn't that lovely? But it's more like he's interested in tussling his own hair.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody wants to see a grown man tussle his own hair.
Nah, I'm not a tussler.
So, sorry, Kevin Smith. Stop tussling in front of all of us. IMDb, 5.7 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes critics, 38 of them, 66%, which I thought was surprisingly generous.
That's pretty generous, yeah.
Audience, 559 of them. You ready for this?
559 of them. Okay.
559. Any idea here?
78.
93%. And that's more laughs than you got out of the movie. I give this a 5.5 out of 10.
That's right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're on point with me?
I think that was my score.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I had 5.5 as well.
Yeah, it's just, it's not like you're going to be sad you watched it, but there's not going to be enough in it for the average Kevin Smith fan to enjoy it. And even if you're the above average Kevin Smith fan, which I would consider myself to be, it still just looked like Kevin Smith tussling his own hair.
I just felt like I could have watched something else.
Yep.
Sorry, Kevin Smith.